Networking and marketing made simple is for you, the business owner who has a product, a service, or a message that you believe in. My name is Scott Aaron, and each week we'll take a behind-the-scenes look into the real-world marketing and networking tactics and strategies for getting what you have in front of you to a lot more people. Thanks for spending time with me, and now let's get started. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Networking and Marketing Made Simple. Super excited about today's interview episode, and I know this is just some feedback that I've gotten from all of you over the last 4+ years that you love hearing the stories of other people, and I'm excited to, you know, for one, hear the story from my guest today, but for all of you to hear it. He's an angel investor. He specializes in helping people start businesses. And he himself, as we were talking in the pre-show, starts 3 businesses a year on average himself. And prominently is the co-founder of Proof Pest Control. And, you know, what I love about this guest is diversifying one's business portfolio and creating multiple streams of income is obviously ideal in today's market, but also it allows you to do so much more with what you have. So with all that behind us, Alan Draper, welcome to today's episode.
Hey, thanks, Scott. Glad to be here.
So obviously there's a lot to dive into. 20 some odd businesses under your belt and growing. And, you know, before we talk about all that stuff, you know, people love knowing what that catalytic moment was for that person that kind of sent them down that entrepreneurial path that they're currently on. So if you were to think about that yourself, rewinding the tape of your journey so far, what was that catalytic moment for you?
You know, I honestly think that it began when I was a kid. I was actually kind of shy, but I loved to hustle. I grew up in a small farming community right on the Oregon-Idaho border. And I remember as a kid, I always had a paper route. I had a paper route for like 6 years. But in my spare time, I would go to the neighbors and offer to rake their leaves or shovel their snow, whatever the case is. And I don't think I knew it at the time, Scott, but that's where like this idea of, you know, really, really two things about my entrepreneurial journey that I love, where that began to grow. And those two things are, one, I realized that I wanted to create, that I was put on this planet to build something. And two, that I wanted to control my destiny. I wanted to determine how much money I made. I wanted to determine when, where, and how I worked, and all those things. And that was kind of the start for me. And since then, it's been, you know, a lot of books, a lot of studying. I actually have a law degree. I practiced law for a while. A lot of people don't know that. Just kind of, you know, that was the beginning and always something that I wanted to become.
You hear that. I mean, the dream is to, you know, create your own schedule, create your own time, create your own economy. You know, my wife and I, over the last 4 years, we've built our company and scaled it to levels that we didn't think we'd be able to scale. We're working 3 days a week, you know, leveraged our time and our income. And, you know, I think everybody inside of them, I think every human being has a part of their DNA that's entrepreneurial. And, but you hear this conundrum, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this, that yes, ideally it would be great for everyone to be their own boss and to create their own company, but yet you need lawyers, you need doctors, you need healthcare professionals. So what's your thought and your opinion on the entrepreneurial spirit as a whole compared to obviously the needs that certain industries and businesses have as far as having regular employees and having people work for others?
You know, I think it works out great because not everybody should be an entrepreneur, in my opinion. And not only that, not everyone wants to. And not only that, not everyone has the capacity to. So, you know, I had some stressful conversations just a couple of hours ago. I've been going through some financial statements for a few of my businesses, and inflation is taking its toll. We're starting to talk about adjusting and, you know, pivoting and making changes to make sure that that bottom line is what, you know, we have set targets for. There's some people that don't want to deal with that, man. Like my mom is a perfect example. When she worked, she had a 9-to-5. She liked getting off of work and never thinking about it. I don't really stop. I don't really unplug. I work, you know, from my phone mostly and my computer. And so I can work from wherever. But I don't want to. I don't want to unplug. I do a good job of, you know, when I'm with my family, I'm with my family, but it's, you know, it's in me, man. Like I wouldn't have it any other way. And I have a crazy high risk tolerance. There's a lot of people that in my situation would be like, sell it all, go find a beach. I'm too young for that, man. I'm in my low 40s. Like I'm just getting started. So, number one, yeah, not everybody should be an entrepreneur. Number two, thank goodness, not everybody wants to be, because you're right. We do need these services. We do need kind of for our economy, but here's the thing, Scott, is if everybody wanted to be an entrepreneur, do their own thing, and then we had a shortage of doctors or whatever, I think capitalism would fix it. Right. Because then we would just pay them more. And then they're like, okay, well, you know, you pay me that, or you give me that many days off a month or whatever, then I don't need to do my own thing. For me, it wouldn't matter what you gave me. There's nothing that you could give me to, you know, short of not me not being able to provide for my family. I'm a businessman and I'm an entrepreneur. It's like saying that, you know, it's part of my identity. That's, you take that away from me and it's, you know, I'm not who I was put on this planet to be.
Yeah. I always quantify it as being psychologically unemployable because,
yeah,
you know, like you, I mean, I started in entrepreneurship when I was a sophomore in college. And when you get started at such a young age, your DNA has changed forever. There's once you work for yourself, and I mean, I've never gone on a job interview. I've never worked for anyone else. I mean, I had little odds and ends jobs. I worked at a beer distributor. I worked on a golf course, like, you know, to make money during college. But, you know, family situations that arose, I had to start running the family business at 19, which, again, was one of the greatest learning lessons ever. In your case, what I would love to know is, you know, in the limited time that you did practice law, and studying law, you know, through law school, what were some things that you learned in that journey that really helped you and maybe gave you an extra edge when you are starting businesses or you are looking for a company to be an angel investor in that has really kind of allowed you to become more profitable that way?
Well, in law school, I used to think they taught you the law and I thought you would graduate and then you'd know everything you needed to know for the bar. That is not true. I studied for the bar for about 4 or 5 months before taking it. And that's when I learned the law. In law school, you learn how to think, you learn how to write a little bit, and you learn how to analyze. And I got to the point where I was deciding between getting an MBA and going to law school. And I went the law school route. I think you can go do either, different skill sets involved, but that gives me a significant leg up. I can look at something, and it's not 100% financial analysis, which I'm pretty good at, but I'm not an accountant. I don't have a degree in corporate finance. I have, you know, this experience between, you know, understanding the implications of a financial statement, but then also understanding, hey, I like this entrepreneur. I like this founder, right? Which comes into play a lot. So I think that the analysis part, and then when I was practicing law, I got really good at developing relationships with people. I have, currently I own 27 businesses, but I have 16 business partners, and, it's very difficult. very difficult. And mostly what I do is I find ways to leverage money, and I work with my partners. And so that takes up most of my time. And just practicing law, a lot of people don't know this, but lawyers, for the most part, they are really good friends with each other, even if they're adversarial on a particular case. And I picked that up from the legal field, where I saw people, you know, giving extensions for deadlines and just helping each other out, even though they were on the other side. And I got this kind of lifelong lesson of, you know, entrepreneurship and business as a whole is not a zero sum game. And I picked that up from lawyers of all people.
So obviously being able to work with people collaboratively obviously is one thing. And, you know, again, when you have 17 different business partners, you know, to the person that's listening to this, it's like, okay, their head starts to spin. But before we go down, like, I think the angel investing route could be a whole separate conversation. What I want to focus on is the business startup, because as you and I were kind of talking in the pre-show, you love helping people start businesses. You know, you yourself start three businesses a year. And for that person that's listening to this, that fits the description of an entrepreneur. They want to be an entrepreneur. They have the bug. They've tried different things. If you were to give some helpful strategies, or I would say foundations, of the best route someone should go down in starting their own business, what are a couple different tips that you can give that person listening to this?
I mean, I think starting a business is all about making mistakes. It's all about getting in there and trying and failing and trying and failing and trying and failing until you finally succeed. And then you'll fail again, and then you'll, you know, figure it out. Entrepreneurs, just typically, we have this issue of being distracted. I come up with several business ideas every single day. I see something and I'm like, man, they really need to invent something to fix that. Or there's a hole in, you know, the window washing service that I could fill with whatever, you know, business. And so two things. One, realize that as you're starting a business, your goal, it sounds weird, but your goal is to fail and fail quickly and often. Make mistakes and pivot. And then two, kind of approach it like you're going to double down on your idea and you're going to stick with it. You're going to stay focused on it. A lot of people reach out to me. They're like, hey, Alan, I want to be like you. I have all these business ideas. I want to start all these businesses at the same time. And I'm like, don't do it. Don't you dare do it. You focus on one thing. One time I had this guy, I consult startups, and he sat in my office and he had this notebook, and he's like, Alan, I have these 20 business ideas all written out, and I want, you know, you to help me decide which one to go after. And I listened to a few of them, and some of them were really good ideas. And after about 20 minutes, I said, what's going to make the biggest difference is action. You deciding which one you're going to go after. And when you get to that point, you take that notebook and you don't burn it. Don't burn it. A lot of people would say burn it and, you know, just focus on one business. I would say put that on a really high shelf. And then when you have another business idea, write it down and put it back up. But for a couple of years, until you're financially viable to the point where you can replace yourself, you focus on one thing and you get really good at it. Cool thing about business is that it applies generally. I'm involved in, I don't know, 10 or 12 different industries. I own a service company, but I also own a call center, and I've developed a software. I own a digital marketing agency. I have a fairly large real estate portfolio. So it's very diverse, but a lot of the principles that apply to business apply to all of them. And so if somebody's wanting to start a business, just focus, just hyper focus for several years until you kind of find, you know, get your feet wet, find some success, and then you can kind of pivot out of that.
I couldn't agree more. You know, I always tell people, you know, your failures open the doors to your successes. And I remember a good friend of mine, Andrea Waltz, wrote a book called Go for No. And she always talked about your failure quotient. And, you know, her and Richard Fenton, her husband, they said, you know, if you want to learn how to succeed, learn how to fail first. And if you want the success to happen quicker, learn to fail quicker. Because when you increase the failure quotient, you're going to increase the success quotient. And that's something that my wife and I live by, you know, under the umbrella of our business, we have, 8 different companies. We have 8 different things that we have going at once. And, you know, obviously we have a team behind us helping us organize everything, but like you, we look for ways to improve maybe processes out there, where there's like some holes and gaps. And when you can find something, and this is the big thing. Everybody has a great business idea. I remember my wife shared this story with me that there was this guy that developed this bug spray that killed any kind of bug you can imagine. It killed roaches and ants and wasps. And he took it to market and put it in, you know, some like True Values and some hardware stores and, you know, where they sell those kind of things, home and garden type stuff. And it just sat on the shelf. And next to it, you know, people were buying everything but that. So the guy went to, you know, his business coach and consultant, and he goes, I don't get it. You know, people are buying, you know, this bug spray and that bug spray. And, you know, my bug spray, it says it right on the label, kills everything. So his business coach said, well, you know, what if someone walking into that store doesn't want to kill everything? It wants a bug spray specifically for the type of problem they're having. He said, why don't you rebrand the label? You know, kills ants, kills hornets, kills roaches, kills this. And he said, so the same thing, but just do different labels. He said, yeah. And as soon as he made that change where he niched down and he got crystal clear and specific, his product was flying off the shelf, and he quickly scaled it to a multiple 7-figure business. Because again, when you have a clear path and a direction that you're going to take a consumer down where there's no questions in their mind, like, oh, what am I getting with this? Or what problem is this going to solve? Right. The people that become jacks of all trades instead of a category of one, you're going to have a really difficult time really building that kind of business. Now, for you, what would you say when you got into business startup and starting your own business? What was, looking back, what was an unforeseen problem or issue that you dealt with that obviously has made the path smoother now that you're doing it multiple times a year, whether it's in investing in someone else's or starting your own?
You know, I think working with partners, I think it's one of the most difficult aspects of business. And, you know, all of my partnerships, not all of them have worked out. I've had some that have failed, but it's something where I've really invested a lot of time and effort. And for me, it was not just about the business. It was about this element of me becoming who I believe, you know, I'm meant to be. And I still struggle with it sometimes. There's times where, you know, I can handle a situation inappropriately or not pay enough deference to the emotions or concerns of one of my business partners. But over the years, as I've been able to, you know, show that I can get on the level with them and understand them and understand what they're after, that's where things really started to change. Because I'm really good at just a few things and not anything really hyper niche. Like I mentioned that I developed a software. Scott, I didn't develop anything, man. I had the money and the risk tolerance. My my partner that's a software developer, he's the one that developed the software, right? That's his skill set. And so I got to this point where I was like, look, if I put together a few bucks and I have this kind of general business acumen and I'm really good with partners, I can attract people to me that have a skill set that fill the gaps. And that's been everything for me. You set those 16 business partners aside, I haven't achieved a fraction of what I have, right? I'm not on this podcast. And I recognize that. So just being able to, you know, attract partners that have these hyper niche skill sets, and I fill in the gaps that they don't have. A lot of my partners, they're too nervous to pull the trigger on a business idea. And one thing that I can do is I can add that. I can come in, I can take a lot of risk off their shoulders, and I can provide a lot of motivation. And one thing that I refuse to do is live with regret. I will risk everything before I do that. So I can come in and kind of give that perspective to a business partner, but really, it just comes down to me being able to surround myself with people that are better than me and finding where I can add value to these really high value people. And, you know, that's just been a huge blessing in my life, something I've been able to do really well with.
So what's your best advice for that person that, you know, has a business idea, but doesn't necessarily have the capital to go forth with it yourself? Just like, again, using you as the example, you know, your friend that's the software developer, he had the idea, but maybe didn't have the money to back it, but reaches out to you and says, hey, you know, I got this business idea, and obviously marry the two together and you have a business. So for that person that has the idea, has the gumption, has the drive, but doesn't have the capital, what are some things that people can do to fill that void in what they're looking to create to bring that business to fruition?
Yeah. So first off, you know, they could reach out to me. I'm a sucker for a good pitch. But beyond that, you know, your question reminds me of this story. I was consulting this guy on this startup, and he goes through, you know, what his ideas and a lot of the logistics. He got, you know, he did a really good job pitching it. I remember this was like 5 or 6 years ago. And then he gets to the end and he's like, yeah, but I just don't know anybody that can fund it. And this was a personal friend of mine, an acquaintance. And I just stared at him and I was like, there's literally somebody sitting right in front of you that could fund this, but he never asked. And I think that's true of a lot of people. So there's only three ways to get money for your business. You either save it, you borrow it, or you sell equity. That's it. Like, don't, this isn't complicated, everybody. Like, those are the only three options. Now, that being said, there are people, especially in the economy today, I think there's lots of opportunity coming around in the next year, 18 months. And the people that are prepared, the people that have a few bucks set aside, they're going to 10x, 100x their wealth. And I'm really looking forward to that. But, you know, for those people that are like, yeah, I don't know anybody, you're literally listening to a podcast and I just invited you to come pitch me, right? Think about where you can get it. And I'm a sell equity first type of guy. So, I mean, for my first startup, I saved it, but I'm not a go to grandma and ask for $5,000 type of guy, but you could do that, right? And I would do that, Scott, over not starting a business. People are like, nah, I don't want Thanksgiving dinner to be weird. Really? Like, that's going to stop you from chasing your dreams? You don't want Thanksgiving dinner to be weird? I will skip Thanksgiving dinner for the next 50 years if I can achieve my dreams. by, you know, but you got to take care of people too. So I think when people say they can't find money, I think they're just too afraid of getting rejected. This year, I had a goal to be rejected 100 times. That was my goal for like business opportunities. So when I make an offer on a house, I try to get rejected. I try to find that bottom point. But I think ultimately it's just the attitude. There's money out there. Now I understand the concept because I used to think like that. I used to think, no, man, getting money is tough. Getting money is not difficult. It took me making money to realize that, but it's out there. If you find somebody that believes what you believe, that kind of shares a vision of a company, that, you know, funds aren't that difficult to access.
Yeah. My big belief is you have to ask to get, you have to ask in order to get.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
You want something to happen, you got to ask. And again, what's the worst thing that someone's going to say? No. I mean, again, don't be afraid of the word no. You know, you're going to get more no's than you will yeses in your lifetime with anything. Whether you're young and you're asking girls out, you're going to get rejected more than you're going to, you know, have yeses. It's every aspect in your life.
It's kind of funny because people think that getting money for their startup is going to be their biggest hurdle, and they are 100% wrong. That is the beginning of your troubles. And so if you're the type that you're like, yeah, I can't find money, don't start a business, because that's going to be the least of your worries. But if you're the type that's like, hey, I'll take 100 no's, I'll take 1,000 no's, and each time somebody tells me no, it's actually going to motivate me more, not less. You're an entrepreneur. Someone could tell me no over and over and over and over, and I dig my heels in. And it's like, you know what? Because I need 50 no's to get to a yes, that guy telling me no just got me one step closer. So if there's an entrepreneur out there, I mean, if they came to me and they're like, hey, I need money for my startup, I don't know where to go, my first question is going to be, how many people have you asked? Well, no, I just don't know how to ask them. Just start. I did an episode on my show one time where I went through, and it was just solo. I just recorded it solo. I went through, this was a year or so ago, and I don't remember the details, but I went through kind of what I look for when people pitch me. Like if someone's coming to me for money to invest in their business, these are the things that I want to see in that initial pitch. But the reason why I understand those things is because I've tried and failed. And that's just what it's about. So if someone comes to me and they're like, yeah, I can't find money, and then I ask them how many people they've asked, and they say, well, I haven't asked anybody, I don't put up with that stuff. That, you know, I think people need to figure out why they're doing it in the first place. Because if you're doing it just for money, you're doing it just to make money, you're starting your business so that you make more money, just go get a job.
Yeah.
There has to be something deeper than that.
Yeah. Turn your excuses into reason. So if you just give yourself excuses of why you're not going to do anything, you're not. And, it's just a mindset. So, you know, 100%. As we start to wind down, if people are interested in learning more from you about you, want to pitch you on their idea.
Yeah.
What's the best way for people to get in touch with you, whether it be social media, website, and how can you help others that are listening to this episode?
Yeah. So check out my podcast. It's the Business Growth Pod on all major platforms. I'm really active on Instagram. It's a great place to reach me. And then I have a website, alandraper.com. You can schedule an appointment. I have a Calendly link there where I do consultations, 15 minutes. And I get pitched about 10 times a week. And so it's kind of my thing. And I'm a business consultant. So even if I'm not necessarily interested in your startup from a investing perspective, I'm definitely going to be able to point you in the right direction, kind of help get, you know, those first key steps, you know, of momentum. And I mean, I honestly, Scott, I think I was put on this planet, just professionally speaking, I was put on this planet to start businesses and to help others start businesses. It's, I consider it a hobby. I love it so much. And that's kind of what I'm after. So happy to help any way I can.
Love that. And for anyone that's listening, all the information that Alan just dropped will be in the description of the episode, and also the email that goes out along with this. So you're not going to have to look too far. So, Alan, final question before we sign off. What does success truly mean to you?
I mean, success is us just living consistent with who we believe we are. It's reaching that potential just when we're alone with our thoughts and just identifying who we are at our core. It's living consistent with whatever that is. For some people, it's, you know, living on a beach. For others, it's becoming a professional golfer. Others, they just want to have a family. And that, I mean, that, all of those things are very commendable. So it's just being consistent. It's achieving our, you know, who we were put on this planet to be and achieving that perspective.
Love that. Alan, so grateful for the conversation today and for all your knowledge. And first, I just want to congratulate you on all your success and continued success. And looking forward to future conversations. And thank you again so much for being here today.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks, Scott.
So again, everyone, all the information on how to connect with Alan, all the things that he's doing is going to be in the description of this episode. So everyone, please enjoy the rest of your days. And I'll talk to you next time. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much again for checking out today's episode. And if you are listening through iTunes, Spotify, wherever you are, please leave me a rating and review. Let me know what you loved, what you would like to see improved, or ideas you have for future episodes. And if you are interested in taking your business to the next level, don't hesitate to go to my website, www.scottaron.net, where you can schedule a free discovery call with me, where I can learn more about you, your business, what you're struggling with, and how we can work together. And don't forget to check out my wife, Nancy, and mine, our free community on Facebook called LinkedIn Leads for Life. We would love to see you in there. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you, everyone, for your support. Grateful for each and every one of you.